It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coffee plants need to grow in a tropical climate, something that is nearly impossible to do here in the U.S. That makes President Trump's tariffs challenging to a coffee company in Viroqua, which must source its beans from other parts of the globe. 10% tariffs cover most coffee-producing countries, and that could soon drive up the cost for a morning cup of joe. Then on top of the uncertain business climate, a poor growing season this winter, and rising global demand pushed commodity prices for coffee to record highs in recent months. For a firsthand look at the volatility, we called up TJ Simanchin, co-owner of Wonder Steak Coffee based in Viroqua. They have four locations around Wisconsin. TJ, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you, Kate. Great to be here.
Let's jump right into tariffs. How big of a deal would they be for your business?
They are a very big deal. I've been with coffee for 25 years, and we have never, ever considered dealing with tariffs. And so this is new terrain for us. And, you know, we currently are looking at a blanket 10% tariff tax on everything that we import from coffee farmers. And we are uncertain on what's happening with the reciprocal tariffs. So there are countries we buy from that are on that list as well. And we don't know what's happening there.
Take us around the world. Where are you sourcing your beans? Where are your farmers?
So we buy directly from small farmer cooperatives and other organizations from around the world in Central America, South America, Africa. Our main countries that we buy from are Peru and Colombia and South America, Guatemala, Mexico in Central America. We buy a lot of coffee from Ethiopia, but also from Kenya and Burundi and Rwanda as well.
How much of an eye do your suppliers have on this? Are they concerned as well?
They're very concerned because as we, you know, right now it is just that 10%, which just kind of makes in a weird way everyone on the same playing field. Mm-hmm. But early on, when the Mexican and Canadian tariffs were being proposed, when you start seeing different tariff amounts for different countries, that's when, you know, people who are buying coffee might shift their purchases. So if, you know, right now, if those reciprocal tariffs take effect, we buy coffee from Nicaragua, and that tariff could go as high as 28%. So in a scenario like that, you know, we would maybe be forced to reduce some of our purchases from a place like Nicaragua and make that up in a neighboring country. We wouldn't necessarily do that. You know, we're a company that is built on relationships, and we are very committed to the farmers that we buy from. But on the aggregate, this is where coffee farmers are really uncertain and nervous on how these tariffs play out.
It's fascinating because there's a geopolitical influence to the coffee industry that that I, as a consumer, just don't think about. And I'm wondering, can you walk us through the math of how tariffs could affect the price that the customer pays in the things that you are buying from other countries and then the other inputs into the business?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and something to be clear about is we cannot replace coffee with domestic production. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a tiny little bit of coffee that's grown in Hawaii and Puerto Rico, but that makes up less than 1% of U.S. consumption. So just to be clear that coffee is one of those products that the tariffs couldn't push production, you know, domestic production.
Right.
But right now, the world commodity price for coffee is at a historic high. So coffee is traded in a commercial sense on a commodity exchange. And that had been at a kind of hovering at about $1.50 to $1.75 for the past many years. Hmm. That's the price per pound of the raw coffee, mm-hmm. what we call green coffee. And today that price is hovering around $4. And that's the highest it's ever been historically. And so when you put a 10% or even higher tariff on top of that, that's a multiplier effect. So we already, so that $4 is above the minimum price that we've been guaranteeing farmers for years. Our minimum price this year was $3.15. Mm-hmm. So our cost of coffee, we've gone up for the first time ever, really. Our costs have gone up because of the commodity market. And so we already have had a price adjustment, and we have passed some of those costs onto our customers. Where the tariffs come in is, you know, this is just a tax. And to be clear, like, we are the ones paying that. We are the ones who are paying the government, those who are importing the coffee or importing anything. We're the ones who are actually paying that tax. So I have to come up with, our company needs to finance that purchase. And today we talk in container loads of coffee. And for us, a container of coffee might cost around $200,000. So that tariff tax, if it stays at 10%, will be $20,000. So that's an additional $20,000 that we need to come up with. And I'm literally borrowing that money from our bank to pay that tax. So we get hit with that up front. And then, you know, as we absorb those costs, eventually we are going to have to look at increasing prices again.
How accommodating is the bank in this story? Because I'm not sure whether the coffee business is recession resistant or does okay in market downturns. What might the bank say?
Yeah, we actually have a really great relationship. We're here in Southwest Wisconsin, rural Viroqua, mm-hmm. and we have a relationship with the local bank. So we're very fortunate that our bank is sticking right at our side. We are one of the lucky ones. I was just in D.C. Meeting with senators and small business owners, and I met with some folks who are small business owners who are all their product is coming from China. Mm-hmm. And there was one case where a woman from Minnesota, an entrepreneur, she has an order in China that's she's already paid for. So $150,000 order. And she has got to leave that product in China at the factory because she cannot afford in her bank. She's tapped out with loans.
The
duties would be, the tariff would be almost $250,000. Mm. And she just hasn't have that money. And so there is a lot of small businesses who are at risk of completely going out of business because they just cannot finance. They can't come up, you know, this isn't even a question about them raising prices. They can't afford to get their product in the country, period. Mm. So they're going to run out of inventory and they're just going to go out of business. We are fortunate. I think coffee has also proven to be a recession-proof product. People are still going to have their small luxuries, their daily routine of you know, treating themselves to coffee, whether it's at home or in one of our cafes.
Okay, so those are the beans, but that's not all you need to run a business like this. You've got your to-go cups. You've got your flavoring syrups. You've got your stir sticks. You've got that espresso machine that can't break down. Like, what about these other things? Because we keep hearing the tariffs are also going to affect so many other aspects of the things we use. How will that hit your business as you run your business?
Yeah, and this is kind of the story we share with all small businesses right now is we don't really know. We know it's going to impact it, and we're trying to understand how this is all playing out. And do we need to purchase up with one of our suppliers has inventory right now? But again, that means we need to come up with more money to buy that inventory. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we are expecting things like the bags that we put our coffee in, the retail bags, and in our cafes. All of our to-go containers and to-go cups. We have some inventory, and this is everyone who, you know, is lucky enough to have some inventory, we're kind of just looking out at the horizon with uncertainty and thankful that we have product in our warehouses now.
Yeah.
For those who are just, you know, having to put orders in, and that's true for some of our products. We are expecting things to be more expensive. We don't know if it's, you know, if it's coming from China with the 145% tariff, you know, that's astronomically more expensive. You know, we buy from US companies and they're sourcing from, you know, other parts of the world often. So, and then the big picture for that is just, you know, for us to be really conservative and cautious about how we're investing in our business. Mm. Are we going to, you know, buy new equipment? How we can be staffing up and investing in our staff? These are all things that are feeling very uncertain and, you know, don't really give us a lot of ability to grow and invest right now.
TJ Simanchin is with us. Co-owner of Wonder State Coffee has 4 locations around the state. As we look more deeply into the tariff situation and the coffee economy, TJ, you mentioned staff. How are baristas and other staff members affected by this uncertainty in the coffee market?
For us, you know, it really is just we are committed to being the best employer we can. But when we have all this uncertainty and these additional costs, it makes it very hard for us to stay true to our mission. So I think just like we aren't certain about what's ahead, that definitely impacts, you know, we're all in that same boat. We certainly aren't talking about layoffs and shrinking staff. We're not at risk of that. But in terms of adding staff, or, you know, we have a profit share program, we certainly are, you know, shrinking our what we're projecting for profit this year. Mm-hmm. That impacts all of us. And, you know, in costs for business have already gone up. We provide healthcare to some degree for all of our staff, and those costs are going up. So our ability to be the best employer we want is definitely hindered because of the tariffs and just this general business climate.
So the business climate, tariffs, or climate change, I mean, what is scarier for the future of a business like this? Because there are climate impacts as well.
Yeah, so we didn't talk about why coffee prices are higher. And coffee historically has been very volatile. It'll have quick peaks and then drops back down, and which is very disruptive for the folks in the middle, like ourselves, small roasters like ourselves, and for the farmers. But we now are at this historic high in the coffee market. And that is largely because it's just harder to grow coffee now. And that is impacting the global supply. One of the biggest reasons it's harder is because of climate change and climate shocks. So you have drought, and you have rains coming in the time of year when it typically doesn't. And we have some of the largest producers in the world, Brazil and Vietnam, have had multi-year shortages in their coffee production. So that has been predicted. Mm-hmm. Folks have been saying that it's going to get harder to grow coffee and it will shrink the supply. At the same time, demand is increasing. There's more coffee drinkers around the globe. And so that we think that coffee will, you know, that these new prices are the new norm to a degree. And that just means, like, for all of us, for our company and for folks who drink coffee, we should be expecting that we have to pay more and make sure that the farmers are getting what they need to keep investing in their farms and keep the production going.
I want to land on relationships. You have deep relationships with farmers. You have the customer relationships on the front line in the coffee shops. And in these challenging times, what do relationships mean to you?
Yeah, they are really critical. I think we have proven to the farmers that we buy from that through the thin years when that commodity price is very, very low, we still keep paying our high price to the farmers. And, you know, some of the farmers we buy from, they are from when we started the company 20 years ago. So some of these relationships go decades where they're way back, or they're, you know, where the children of the farmers that we were buying from when we started are the ones that we're now, you know, buying from. So those relationships run deep, and they really do mean everything to us. This is what buying direct means. And this is what is one of the more frustrating components of all the tariff impact is supply chains and resilient supply chains are built on relationships. And that's true if you're buying from a local farmer down the street or a local business, or if you're buying from someone across the globe, that there's someone on the other end of that trading relationship. Yeah. That's true if you're buying from someone in China or a coffee farmer in Colombia. And so that is really at the core of who we are in these times of crisis, is when it becomes most important and most apparent, like during COVID. So I feel like we're back in that place where we're just really needing to let the farmers know that we're committed to them, and vice versa. They see that the tariffs are really impacting us, and the farmers are reaching out and asking how we're doing. How are we dealing with these impacts? So these relationships really mean everything to us. We travel throughout the year. We just had a bunch of staff in Guatemala meeting with the farmer group that we buy from there. So when I hear the kind of the political rhetoric around the tariffs, that part is really frustrating for a company like us who we depend on international trade. Coffee is an international product, and those relationships are really threatened when we just kind of take a too narrow view of the economy and keep pushing just for domestic production without thinking about how supply chains are built and how long they take to establish.
TJ, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for being here.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, Kate.
TJ Simanchin is co-owner of Wonder State Coffee, that is based in Viroqua with 4 locations around Wisconsin. We talked about the economic uncertainty and the volatility in the coffee business and how it affects a Wisconsin roaster.